Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, August the 7th, 2024. The panel today includes our diversity, equity, and inclusion member, and that would be the half-Greek, half-Italian, Ed Battagliano.
That's right. I thoroughly represent the half-Italian, half-Greek segment of our listening audience, and that's why I was hired, folks.
You're a man of color. What?
Color me embarrassed.
All right, so Ed Battagliano is with me. Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. That could have gone. You were going in a way that, for some people, thought that you had some truth to that until you went to the color part, and then we're like, no, this is a joke.
Yes,
but you fooled a couple. You had some people going there for a second.
Wow, you have a lot of half Italian, half Greek listeners.
Yeah,
we're trying to pull that audience.
We're trying to pull that audience in.
That's right. Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Who do you represent, Chris?
I have been told by family members that we have some German heritage, but my ancestors, as far as I know, came from England.
Now, I've said this on the air before. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is one of the primary differences I've noticed. Okay. A native New Englander, mm-hmm. born in the Boston area, grew up in New Hampshire. My wife is a native Mississippian. Mm-hmm. We met at Bible College in Dallas. What I've noticed over the years, I've lived in the South since 85, been married for 43 years.
Okay.
One of the things I've noticed, the difference between Northerners / New Englanders and Southerners, I know exactly what my heritage is, mm-hmm. half Italian, half Greek. When I dated girls, okay, admittedly it was few and far between, all right, I always asked, so what's your background? Mm-hmm. When I asked my wife, what's your background, I meant your ethnic background, because I want to know, are you Polish, are you mm-hmm. French? You know, if you're Italian, maybe we can make this work long term.
Yeah.
So I asked my wife, Diane, I said, what's your background? She says, what do you mean? I said, like your family, where are they from? She mm-hmm. said, Mississippi. I said, no. I said, your ethnic background. She said, we're American. Mm-hmm. Okay. To this day, just like you said, I think my ancestors came from England somewhere. Yeah. Okay. She told me, she said, I'm Southern and I'm American. And I said, I'm half Italian, half Greek. So when my kids ask what they were, I said, you're half Italian and half Greek because your mama don't know which
one. Well, sociologically
speaking. And your daddy don't rock and roll.
Yeah. Sociologically speaking, you are what your father is, so your kids are Greek Italian.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Where'd you
hear that?
That's kind of
sexist,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
you're part of the patriarchy or something?
No, I mean, I either was told that in college, maybe sociology, or I read it somewhere, but supposedly you are what your father is. Some cultures have you are whatever your religion is, whatever your mother is. Some cultures do that.
Oh, okay.
But as far as your ethnicity, supposedly it comes from the dad. I don't know why. Some old guy with a beard decided that a long time ago.
I'd quit digging right there. I really would.
Well, no, at this point we've lost half our audience, so we're good.
I'll tell you what.
They're trying to discover what they are. Yeah. We've just done a lot of advertising for Ancestry.
I was about to say, I would spit on a stick and have somebody tell me where my people come from, but then BlackRock owns like my DNA and there'll be a clone of me somewhere in a garage. I don't know.
That would be a good country song right there.
Yeah, I'm recording that.
There's a clone of me somewhere in a garage.
BlackRock.
Don't. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, let's save us. Somebody save us.
It's It's always up to me to reel this show back in.
I'm sorry, I wasn't on the show yesterday, so I have all this pent up excitement.
Right, right, and you're bringing it.
I'm bringing it.
Bringing it in only ways half Italian, half Greeks can do it.
Thank you,
males.
My people. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. We are so excited about the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, which is having listeners to American Family Radio, children and grandchildren, give these Bibles out across America to kids who don't know the Lord. And
it's legal in schools.
It's absolutely legal. And we've been doing this for many, many years. And I asked Tim to come on, Tim Todd, president of Revival Fires, to give us an update on how we're doing and tell folks who haven't heard how they can participate. Are you back home, Tim?
Yes, I am. Tim, Ed, Chris, good to hear your voices, and glad to be here on the home front.
Okay, well, the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, but how many Bibles are we up to now?
Right now, as of last night, 18,350, and the phones have been ringing, the emails have been coming in this morning. And so we're right on track to break our record, which will be over 65,000. And if we don't make it by Friday afternoon, then we will keep the lines or keep the project going through Monday morning, which is normally the way that this works. But we're having great response.
Okay, folks, you've probably heard about this before if you listen to AFR, but if you're new, there's nothing gimmicky about this. We are, by we, I mean Tim and his ministry and we at ours, we're offering these Bibles free. Now, basically, this is the New Testament, okay? It's not the complete, it's not the whole Bible, but it's the New Testament. And because you just can't, you know what I'm saying? It makes it easier to get out there. But it has the New Testament. It's called The Truth for Youth. And they're paperback. They're easy to, you know, to carry around, and they are so what you do, here's the idea. You have a young person who knows another young person who does not know Christ, and they give them this as a gift for free.
And that's, it could be a better time of year because August,
back to school.
Yeah, we're back to school. Sorry for interrupting you, but on the back there, one of my favorite,
like your father,
just like father, like son. That's more accurate.
Yeah.
On the back there, I like how they go through, I believe it's ADF or First Liberty.
The students' legal rights on public school campuses are listed here.
Printed on
all
the
right.
Back.
So what we're saying, folks, is you can pick up the phone and call Tim Todd's office in West Monroe, Louisiana. They'll take your name and address. They'll send you the Bible for free. Your name doesn't get added to, we don't sell your name. Your name doesn't get added to anything else. This is straight up trying to get the word of God out across America.
Amen.
And lead young people to Christ. We've gone over a million Bibles since we started this project with you, Tim. How many years ago?
It was 24 years ago, and we're at a little over 1.1 million so far.
Okay, Tim. So if they want to take it, by the way, the boxes of Bibles, if you want to order a box, how much? 50 for $100 plus shipping. Is that right?
That's correct. My cost on the Bibles is $2 each. And so if they order 50 Bibles or more, they get them at my cost, which is only $100 for 50 Bibles plus shipping and help us distribute them on a massive level.
Okay. So Tim has some of his staff standing by there in West Monroe to take your calls right now to participate. So you can order one Bible, two Bibles. They're free but per teenager in your high school, in your home, or your grandchild. Everybody understand? Do you understand that, Ed?
Well, it was a little confusing. So, if you have a teenager in your home or a grandchild who's a teenager,
yes.
If they promise to give it away,
yes,
they get it free.
Yes, bingo. You just bingoed, Ed.
Yeah.
All right. So, give the phone number and the website, if you would, Tim.
Yes, it is 844-5308 844-530-8890. Again, 844-530-8890. And the website is tfy.org. tfy.org.
All right, where are your people from, Todd? Originally.
Actually, are you talking about... So my grandmother was born and raised in Paris, France, came to America as a war bride in World War I, had to learn the English language. My grandfather did not speak French, and my grandmother didn't speak English, but they had 11 children, so I guess they didn't have too much trouble communicating.
That was called, they spoke the language of love.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
That's it.
So you said your grandmother was French? Your great-grandmother?
Yes, my grandmother was full-blood French, and my grandfather was in World War I, was stationed there in Paris.
Yeah.
And they got married, and my grandfather, he's actually Swedish, but my grandmother was full-blood French.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, Tim, thank you, brother. We'll look forward to getting an update from you later on, but we're doing great. We're proud of our partnership, and we're thankful for our listeners for helping us get the word of God out across America to the young people going back to school.
Amen. Thank you, Tim, for your partnership with American Family Radio and Revival Fires to reach a generation of young people.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. First story, Chris.
Well, Democrat Representative Cori Bush of Missouri on Tuesday became the second member of the so-called squad to lose their Democratic primary election. Jamal Bowman of New York was the other one earlier this year. We talked about that. Now, Bush, much like Bowman, lost to a Democrat opponent who was supported by the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC. I've got some audio of Cori Bush last night in her concession speech, and she had a message for AIPAC, clip 11.
Pulling me away from my position as Congresswoman, all you did was take some of the strings off. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Because see, now I don't have to worry about some strings that I have attached, that as much as I love my job. But all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid. I just grew up a whole lot more over the last few weeks. And so let me say this. AIPAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
Okay. She needs some therapy.
That was very pleasant. I enjoyed listening.
Always soft-spoken, Cori Bush.
She needs some, like, you know, like nature music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Listen to river streams. Or things.
This is NPR.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. So for those who don't know, the voice you just heard was Cori Bush. She has been a United States House of Representatives member from the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. And she is part of a 6 to 8 of them with
AOC.
The most famous one being Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm. And Ilhan
Omar, yes. Rashida Tlaib. Yeah.
Those names, you've seen them in the news. They do a lot of interviews. Mm-hmm. They represent the far, far left of the Democrat Party. So, and almost all of them are, they can't stand Israel, all right? And a lot of their vitriol is very anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. So she got beat last night in a primary, Wesley, in a primary. So she got beat by another Democrat pretty soundly. And she's mad because the Jewish lobby, what are they called?
The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC.
They poured a bunch of money into her opponent's campaign, and they beat her. They were part of the reason she lost. So, in a Democrat, district. So she's really, I don't know if you could tell, but she's upset.
You can tell. Yeah, you got to wonder, is this going to be the trend for the next couple of months, especially when the Democrats are having to think through I say Democrats, the how close, especially leading up to the election, how close are they willing to be associated with the squad members after seeing this type of...
There is a war going on.
The Democrats.
They're trying to keep it under the surface, but there's a war going on inside the Democrat Party, Ed, of those who are for Israel and those who hate Israel.
Well, and Cori Bush actually says that. She admits that was pretty open what she said. She said, now I have no strings attached. In other words, now she can say exactly what she means, which means she was hiding some of her true feelings, probably because the Democratic Party has told the members of the squad, hey, you need to
pull back.
We're in election season. You're going to have to pull back what you might want to say openly when it comes to Israel and the problems, the war with Hamas. So she just admitted that not only is the Democratic Party trying to convince members of the squad to hold their tongues, but she would not speak openly. So listen, a little bit of deception going on. I know probably all politicians tend to do this. They're not going to tell you oftentimes exactly what they think and feel because they want to get reelected, but Cori Bush just admitted it.
Well, don't we have some audio for Van Jones on this same as well?
Yes. Now, the Van Jones audio, let me take a moment to set this up. Van Jones, who, by the way, had no problem being called a, quote, czar when he worked for Barack Obama in that administration back in the day. But Van Jones was on CNN yesterday expressing concerns about Vice President Harris picking Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate. The scuttlebutt yesterday and for several days now has been that Harris decided not to pick Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania because Shapiro is Jewish. So that is among the reasons why Van Jones had a problem with Vice President Harris picking Governor Walz. Clip 8.
Do you think it was a little risky, though, Van, that she didn't go with Shapiro to kind of lock down Pennsylvania? I mean, yes, David Challenger was saying earlier, just because you pick him as your running mate doesn't mean you automatically win Pennsylvania. But I got to think it would have helped just a little bit.
Hey, listen, that the conservatives, the right wing, the Republicans, they were chewing their fingernails down to the knuckle because they were afraid of a Josh Shapiro. They were afraid of a Mark Kelly. They're not as afraid of this new governor because they think they can define him. Here's the challenge you've got in this party. People don't want to talk about it. We got to talk about it. On the one hand, you have a lot of young people who are concerned about Gaza. You have a lot of Muslims and Arabs and others. They have not felt seen by the Biden administration. You start hearing that genocide joke. That was building. And so those folks needed to have a candidate that they could feel comfortable with. This helps them in that regard. But you also have anti-Semitism that has gotten marbled into this party. You can be for the Palestinians without being an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And there's some disquiet now, and there has to be. How much of what just happened is caving into some of these darker parts in the party? So that's going to have to get worked out. It's going to have to get talked through.
Listen, I'm going to say we talked about this a little bit in our story meeting, Wesley. Van Jones is a liberal. He's sold out, no problem. I disagree with 98% of probably what he would say. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like Van Jones for this reason. That was an honest statement, what he said.
Yeah.
He was saying the quiet part out loud, you know, that expression, because there is a strain of anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party.
Now, we would say it's more than he thinks, but he's at least acknowledging that it's there and that it's causing problems.
That it needs to be worked out.
And I got the impression that he also was saying that it's also wrong.
Yes.
Even it's a small part. I say it's more than that. He says it's a little bit, but he's saying it's still wrong.
Yes.
And so,
and he notes probably what we all suspected is that Josh, he's also right. If I was on the Trump campaign, I would have been very nervous if Kamala Harris had picked Josh
Shapiro
or Mark Kelly, the former astronaut from Arizona.
Yeah.
Those would have been more formidable picks, I think, for the Harris ticket. So I also appreciated that. But he hits it right on the head.
Yeah.
This is a problem in the Democratic Party. They need to work this out.
One thing you don't know in this whole scenario with Harris picking How do you pronounce his name?
Tim Walz.
Walz.
Like the Walz
How's
here.
How's it spelled?
W-A-L-Z.
Okay. So with her picking Governor Walz of Minnesota and not picking Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania may have quietly declined. Now,
we don't
know, but he wouldn't say that out loud, you know, because he wouldn't want to embarrass Harris, so to speak, although I don't know what's so embarrassing necessarily about just saying that I don't want to do that. Because he's only been in the governor's seat for, what, 2 years maybe?
Yeah, this is his first term.
So, I mean, he could say, no, I got work to do in my home state, which I ran for office in Pennsylvania. But what I'm saying is Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, now listen, I'm going to disagree with his politics, most all of it, as far as I know, but he has a bright future in the Democrat Party, it appears. He may not have wanted to hook his wagon to Harris.
He's 51 years old.
Who, Shapiro?
So, I mean, he's got a career ahead of him.
He's got another 40 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, he can come back in 30 years and run for president.
Mm-hmm.
There is a precedent
for that.
We like them well done. You know, if they're going to run for president, they need to be upper 70s, lower 80s.
Yeah.
But listen, he may have said, you know, it's not my time, I'm not ready. So we don't know if that's the reason he wasn't chosen. Or was it the reason that Van Jones is talking about there? Half the Democrat Party, or maybe, I don't know how you measure it exactly, but a substantial percentage of Democrat Party operatives and candidates, they can't stand Israel or the Jews. Mm. And yet you got a lot of Jews who are part of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, quote, work that out like Van Jones. You're going to have a Kumbaya conference. Go ahead.
Okay. I just looked this up. Pew Research Center shows a plurality of Democrats, 43%, oppose providing Israel with military aid for the war against Hamas, while a quarter of Democrats support it.
Okay. So there you go.
That's
what I mean by civil war inside the Democrat Party. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Well, keeping with Israel and Jewish voters there, let me stick in this audio bite from Donald Trump. He was talking about some polls out there that show he is gaining support from Jewish people in New York and in other places there, possibly even edging out Kamala Harris in the race for Jewish people in some of these battleground states. Clip 10.
Well, we're going to try and win New York, and that hasn't been done for many, many decades, as you know, but we're trying to win New York, and we're very close to doing it. And probably that's another reason I was somewhat surprised. I think that any Jewish person who votes for a Democrat, or in this case, these people, but who votes for a Democrat, should have their head examined. They are so bad. If you look, they are so bad to Jewish people, what they've done and the way they talk and their policy and everything else, far beyond just what happened, because everyone thought it was going to be Shapiro. It turned out not to be Shapiro. I have very little doubt that it was, you know, not for the reason we're talking about. It was because of the fact that he's Jewish and they think.
Okay, a couple of things on that. That's former President Donald Trump commenting on Harris's selection of Walz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's two things. As they say, two things can be true at one time,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, President Trump is delusional. If he thinks he's going to win the state of New York, he needs some help. Okay. Now, the second thing that he said was absolutely right was that how Jews can vote Democrats when it's the Democrats, when a lot of their party hate Jews and hate Israel, is beyond him.
Right.
This is what Trump
should have their head examined.
He's bingo. He just bingoed on that card right there. Republican, I don't, Trump or anybody, they got no shot at winning the state of New York. You'd be wasting your money. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Chris Woodward. And if you want to, Ed, how can folks watch this here show if they are so inclined?
If you are inclined, if you like to watch radio.
Right.
And who doesn't want to watch radio, okay? There are
you need to get alive.
There are at least
improve your life, people.
Four ways to do that. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net, or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio. All four of those will provide for you the live video stream for this program. And most of our shows on our talk network have a live video stream.
Wesley, also, we have this show and others available in what we call podcast form, right?
We do. We podcast them.
All right. What is that, Wesley? Because I met somebody the other day, and I said, you can download our radio show, Today's Issues, our podcast, if you miss it. And they looked at me like I had three heads.
Okay.
Well, I didn't want to say, no, you're the one with three heads if you don't know what a podcast is, but I didn't want to insult them.
Well, I'm glad you didn't because we want them to go check out the podcast.
Right. What is a podcast and where can you find it?
On AFR.net, there's a tab at the very top that says podcast. And what we do is we take each segment and we upload them onto the respective channel. So in this case, you're listening to Today's Issues. So once you click podcast on AFR.net, there we have archived and we have saved or stored all of our radio programs. So if you were listening, yesterday, the day before, and you heard us talk about something and you want
to go back and listen to it,
Instead of emailing or calling up here and having to go through the process of us sending it to you, you can just go to afr.net podcast and there. Now, that's not just for Today's Issues. All the other programs are on there as well.
Yeah. If for those of you thinking 20, 30 years ago, well, we would say there's a tape recording.
Yes.
There's a tape recording of this show every day and other shows we air on American Family Radio that you can listen to on demand.
Right.
Just clicking on them. That's what a podcast is. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Dr. Alex McFarland joins us right now. Alex, where are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hey, I'm a golfer, as you know, and they say that's just a golf mecca over there.
Is that right?
You drive down the street, you see a bunch of golf courses?
Everywhere you look, brother. And we're working. We're going to do a big evangelistic event here next week on the 15th.
On the golf courses?
On the 15th hole?
The website for our evangelistic event next week is at curiousaboutchrist.com. Curiousaboutchrist.com. But we're also, just because I don't have good sense, we've committed to rent the Coliseum for the fall of 2025, and we're going to invite Eric Metaxas and yourself, and we want to have a big biblical worldview apologetics event here next fall in a year.
In Myrtle Beach?
Yes, sir.
Well, of course, that's one of the top vacation destinations in America right there.
It is,
and conference destinations. Okay, Alex, I wanted to ask you about, I sent you this earlier, because there's a lot of discussion now about the Vice President Harris, and now she's named the governor of Minnesota, her running mate, Waltz, and their ideology, their beliefs, politically and otherwise. And this is what Elon Musk sent out this morning. Elon Musk, and I don't know how many followers he has on the company he owns, X. I'm sure I could look that up, but it's...
He has 193.1 million followers.
Is that all?
Yeah. Well, I was going to get started, but I'm not. But he's got that kind of lead on me right there. But anyway, when Elon Musk speaks, because he is the richest man in the world, or has been, and he started all these successful companies, people listen. And this is what he texted this morning. He's very concerned for the United States. He's a South African. He immigrated here. This is what he wrote. Kamala is quite literally a communist. That's what he wrote. And then he said after that, she wants not merely equal opportunity, but equal outcomes. Now, Alex, are you kind of surprised that somebody like Elon Musk, who, by the way, is also a businessman.
Yes.
Who depends on everybody to buy his products, pretty much, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals. He doesn't care who buys the Tesla, and but he has other companies he's a part of. But why... He seems to be giving us a warning, Elon Musk does. Go ahead, comment on that.
Yeah, well, I think he's right. And as many have said, that Harris and Governor Walz or Waltz or however you pronounce it, I mean, it really represents the most un-American ticket ever. And, I mean, that's saying a lot. I mean, you know, Obama and Hillary, you know, Hillary used to use the phrase from each according to his ability to each according to their need, which is straight out of the Karl Marx playbook. And Kamala Harris has said that as well. But, you know, I appreciate Elon Musk. I really do. I pray for him. I mean, Tim, call me naive, but I pray for Elon Musk to get saved, because could you imagine what a force of nature he would be if he, you know, all of his intellect and abilities, if that were applied to the Great Commission. But here's the thing. I well remember 8 years ago, people were saying about candidate Donald Trump. They said, but he's not a politician. He's a businessman. And I was like, yes, great. Because some good, pragmatic, common sense leadership, and I can say this, it would do a lot for our country. But look, in the last 2 years of Trump's first term, the economy was fantastic. The debt was getting paid down. And, you know, here's the thing about Margaret Thatcher said it so well more than 30 years ago, that socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. And see, that's the thing about the Kamala Harris and all of the progressive, woke, liberal, call it what you will, you can't get something out of thin air. Some people have to work, produce things. That's why Elon Musk has, he's almost complete in his exodus from the People's Republic of California.
Yeah, that's true. Talking about Elon Musk tweeting out, Xing out this morning, warning his millions and millions and millions of followers. He said Kamala is quite literally a communist. I just wonder, though, guys, Ed, you can comment on this. Alex, how long do you have? You got five more minutes with us?
Sure. Okay. Anything you want, bro.
Okay. So you studied world history. Yeah. Okay. Alex has too, and Wesley, we've all. But I want to ask you, I'm not sure people 50 and below in the United States even know what communism is and why Elon Musk would be worried about it. Do you?
No, I think you're right. I think they don't. When I was growing up, people understood communism, the reference to communism, because you could point to the Soviet Union.
Right.
Now, there were people who said, well, they're not doing it right. Okay, but you had a place to point. And a lot of people said, well, we don't want to be that. Now, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, China is not really an example of communism because they've incorporated a lot of they are communists, but they've incorporated a lot of capitalist ideas.
We right. trade Western with them. Western economics.
So it's all theoretical now to people. And what Kamala Harris said, if you listen to what she said when Elon Musk tweeted out, Alex, then I'll pitch this to you. She said, equality is a great idea. Equality of opportunity is a great idea until you realize that we didn't all start in the same place. Some people have more money. They have a better advantage. They're going to wind up in a different place. And so that's why I support equity. The problem is that once you give the government the power to take money from this person and give it to this person to make them on equal, give them equal outcomes, that same government can keep taking as much as they want, and they can take anything they want from you because you've given them the authority to take what you've got and give it to somebody else.
Yeah. Do you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but I document in my book, The Assault on America, how to defend our nation before it's too late. Guys, I give God the glory, but that book 4 years ago was number one in three categories on Amazon for weeks. But here's the thing. I document by 1900, socialism had been tried 80 times in the USA, in 80 localities around America, and it had been abandoned quickly. Now, at best, there were disgruntled people who got mad at each other, and in a few cases, there were homicides. But here's the thing. If you flip a coin 80 times and get tails, why do you think on the 81st you're going to get heads? I mean, there have been localities that tried what Kamala Harris wants, and 80 times out of 80, it was quickly abandoned. See, because recognizing human nature, William Bradford in the Pilgrim Colony recognized this very quickly. You cannot forcibly guarantee equal outcomes. Now, you can have equal opportunity. Some people have a work ethic. Some people are lazy. Some people are industrious and proactive. Some people are not. Some people have more capabilities in one area than another. And everything about equity, diversity, forced equal outcomes, that is absolutely not only antithetical to what America has been for 248 years, it's counter to human nature and counter to reality. And look, I say that I didn't know this growing up. This is a fact. I mean, I was poor white trash, probably in some ways still am. But look, I know what it is. Guys, I know what it is for the bank to come and foreclose and put you out of your house. I was just a teenager. I know what it is to have no food in the kitchen and all you can do is drink tap water and say your prayers. And I'm telling you, America is about opportunity, hard work. And the beautiful thing about it is when you realize that you, if it's going to happen, you got to say your prayers, live right, and work hard. It grows your character. And American voters, I plead with you. I beg of you. I've traveled this world. I've interviewed hundreds of people. I've researched. I've taught political science. I plead with the American electorate. Do not let the greatest country, second only to Israel under King Solomon, the second greatest country in world history, please do not let us turn into a socialist gulag. Save this country. pray and vote.
Yeah. Amen. All right, Brother Alex, thank you so much. What good and great words of admonition right there, brother.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And we will. You on with Bert this afternoon?
Yes, sir. We're in the book of Nehemiah, exploring the word, 3 p.m. Central.
There you go.
Well, talk about rebuilding. We need to do some rebuilding here.
Amen. Thank you, Alex.
Blessing.
Appreciate it. That's Dr. Alex McFarland joining us from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But he and Bert, Brother Bert Harper, will be on this afternoon on this radio station at 3:05 with the radio show Exploring the Word. That's a live walk through the Bible, as they say, and those guys do a great job. Ask him, Elon Musk. Elon Musk is sounding the alarm.
Yes.
About the radical policies of Harris and now Waltz. I say radical. Mm-hmm. If you're a Bernie Sanders fan, you don't say this is not radical at all. This is what I want. This is what we want. If you want to know what the governor of Minnesota, by the way, he was elected twice. So the people of Minnesota, at least the majority of Minnesota, mm-hmm. people agree with his politics.
Right.
Okay. A lot of them would say, I don't find him radical. I find him mainstream. So, okay. I'm just telling you how a lot of people think around the country. But anyway, to the point, Elon Musk is saying he's warning about this Marxist ideology out here.
Yeah, I'm watching a video clip. Now, the video clip was posted on August the 6th, so that would have been yesterday, but I'm not sure what it's referring to. It is timestamp 2023. But there's a video here I'm looking at where Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who Elon Musk was referring to, where he signed a bill giving driver's license to illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And but his enthusiasm and his celebration of doing it is comical. Like he's not like we need to do this on a Friday afternoon when the news.
Oh no,
shut
he's
down.
Proud. He's proud. He said we need to be proud.
He's ear to ear.
He said we need to be proud of our progressive values. He didn't run or shy away from it. He didn't try to hide it.
To your point here, I have a bit of audio. It's
my
quick
point or Wesley's point or who?
Both of yours.
Okay, thank you.
To give you an idea of where he is on the abortion issue, here he is at a past rally talking to abortion supporters. Clip 3.
And my record is so pro-choice, Nancy Pelosi asked me if I should tone it down. I stand with Planned Parenthood, and we won.
He doesn't even listen to Nancy Pelosi. That's how far left he is.
I love this.
Listen.
That helps us so much. I appreciate it.
Got to give that much. He's unapologetic. He's out there. He's a...
Well, and you guys played yesterday. Do you still have the clip about...
Yes, I can do it. It's in this montage of crazy things Tim Walz has said.
This is
about...
Where he talks about socialism.
He loves him some socialism.
Now, here now is going to be a clip of Governor Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate, talking about a number of things from Minnesota George Floyd riots to policing and then finally socialism. Clip 1.
We saw large, peaceful protests. A society that does not put equity and inclusion at the center of it is certainly going to eventually come to the places where we're at.
This is that catch-22. The more police are there, the more tension it is. The more tension it is, the more chance you have to get things.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory.
That guy might be the president in the not-too-distant future, should, God forbid, something happen to Kamala Harris.
And
she gets elected.
Every couple of days or something, either the Republicans or the Trump campaign will do something silly, and you go, come on, that didn't help. But then you come across this kind of stuff, and you're going, wow.
Yeah.
You
want to? Why don't you share
the Democrats are giving us a lot of room here for some mistakes because that is bad.
You ready for me to share my heart?
I'm ready, Tim. I'm always ready for you to share your heart.
Okay, share my heart.
Just
listen. Eventually, we need a.
All right, people vote for various reasons on candidates. I would say people vote 50% on policy and 50% on personality or likability, or I relate to that person. Emotions. We're humans, right?
Right.
And we have emotions, and that factors into our lives on a daily basis, and that includes who you vote for. Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. Now, she won the popular vote, but she lost some very close races in some states Democrats traditionally win. And a lot of people said, well, the only reason Trump had a chance, now Trump was a force of nature at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he was different, and he was a new and novel and so forth. But a lot of people voted for him because they didn't like her.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was not likable. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying that I think if we've said this before, and you said this, I think, Ed, if Biden would have stayed in, the November presidential election would have been a referendum on Biden.
Yes.
But now the Democrats have taken him out of the picture, and the referendum now is on Trump, in my opinion, because he's viewed as sort of the incumbent, right? Because he was the president. So the Democrats are saying, we don't want the referendum to be on Biden. We want it to be on Trump. Now, how that's going to turn out, who knows yet, but do you think that everybody's going through Harris's list of policies?
I think right now you're right with the way you just laid that out.
Right.
Right now the election is a referendum on Trump. The task for the Trump campaign is probably in the aftermath of the Democratic National Convention here in a week or two.
Yeah.
They need to make this a referendum on Biden-Harris, okay? In other words, they need to link Kamala Harris to Joe Biden so that Americans are voting on whether they want another 4 years like the last 4 years. That's the task for the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
They've got to switch that. They got to pull that big spotlight off Donald Trump and his personality and put it on Kamala Harris and now Tim Walz and say, look, they're not only going to be like Joe Biden, they're going to be worse.
Yeah.
So you want 4 more years of that? That's what you want everyone asking when they go into the voting booth on November 5th.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Wes, any comments on that?
Yeah. I think you'll have some people. You said before that, you know, you got people that's going to vote one way or the other if you were to vote today, no matter what. But you still got time to change some votes or to change some people's mind here. And I think the day that somebody in the media, whether it's a debate or whether it's a press conference, at some point when Kamala Harris begins to start talking.
Right, and having to defend and explain.
Why she's running for president.
Right, right.
Then I think at that point you'll start to see some numbers change even more drastic than they may be in some of the swing states. The biggest thing right now is, and this has been like this since 2016, the moment that Trump won, it gives the fuel to the media. The media that was dying, the left-wing media that was dying, now thrives off of hating Trump, and they always have. There's been news stories that cover the fact that about 90%, 95% of the stories that were covered during Trump's first time in office, 90 to 95% of them were covered from a negative perspective, and the highest up to that point was like 60% with former presidents. My yeah. point is that you've got a lot of hatred for Trump, regardless and of rationale or logic. They just hate Trump, so you're gonna have that. So you do have an uphill battle there. But again, as soon as back to Ed's point, the Trump administration has to bring to the mind of the American people what we've been living in the last 3 years and what he's going to do with his policies. If you do that, I don't think this is even close, even with all of his flaws.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All right, Ed, we talked about this morning. Trump likes to roll out these nicknames, right?
Yes.
He's got these nicknames for everybody. And his new one is
Kamala.
Kamala?
Kamala Harris. He said, Kamala Harris is afraid to debate me on Fox News. She will be easier to defeat on the debate stage than crooked Joe Biden. Just watch. Do you think that Kamala, is it how you say that?
Kamala, I think.
Let's go with Kamala. It's easier to pronounce.
Hey, is that going to stick with?
I think he's going to continue to use it. This is playing off the comment before the National Association of Black Journalists when he said, "I thought she was Indian," talking about Kamala Harris all this time, but now she identifies as black. And so Kamala is a combination of Kamala and Shambhala, I think, the old Three Dog Nights song.
I'm on the road to...
Yes, Shambhala. All right, so I think you can pull that off if you're Donald Trump. I think it's unwise if that's your lone point of attack. You've got to take Kamala and you've got to tie it to her policies and you've got to say, listen, she will tell you whatever you want to hear, and that includes her policies. Don't fall for it.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.